Hello, everyone. Before we get started, I just want to thank you all for the tremendous response I've been getting from this podcast. I really appreciate it, knowing that you're all out there and you're listening. I'd like to invite you all to leave me comments. Let me know what you're thinking, any questions you might have about the story or the characters, and I'll try to answer as many of those questions as I can. I want to give a special shout out to all of my international listeners. It's such a thrill to know you're all out there and listening. Thank you very much. Chapter 1, An Unexpected Invitation. The day started much like every other for Jelena. Emerging reluctantly from her cozy nest of rough woolen blankets, the young woman shivered as her bare feet touched the old rag rug lying on the flagstone floor beside her cot. Spring was in the air, but apparently the stones of Amsara Castle hadn't gotten the news yet. Dawn's first flush had just begun to lighten the indigo sky. The day would be warm and dry, perfect for a festival. A few live coals left over from last night still smoldered in the grate. With a handful of kindling and a chunk of fresh wood, Jelena soon had a small fire cheerfully burning. She hunkered down in front of the grate and held her hands to the flames, sighing with pleasure. The brutal cold of winter had begun to ease during the last few weeks, but nights and mornings remained chilly. From behind her, Jelena could hear old Claudius snoring softly. From experience, she knew Claudia's uncannily accurate internal time sense always roused her foster mother at the same hour each morning. A loud cough and a grunt heralded the old woman's return to the waking world. "Big day today, Malam. Lot of extra work to be done. Best get to it, I reckon," Claudia said. She threw aside the rumpled bedclothes and rose ponderously to her feet, then ran a gnarled hand through her thinning steel-gray hair. Jelena answered, still huddled before the fire and loath to move. How wonderful it would be to be able to sit here all morning with a mug of hot tea and a sweet roll. "Come on, girl, get yourself moving now. Them fires in the kitchen won't make themselves. Cook will want 'em nice and hot before she comes down." Jelena groaned out loud as she reluctantly left the bubble of warmth created by the flames and made a show of stomping to her chest to pull out her day clothes. Claudia chuckled affectionately as she pulled on her robe and slippers. "Off to the necessary," she announced, and slipped out of the room, closing the door softly behind her. Jelena preferred to use the chamber pot early in the morning. She found it infinitely better than sitting over a malodorous hole while a freezing draft chilled her backside. After relieving herself, she washed her face and hands in an old ceramic wash basin, then donned a coarse cotton smock with a rust-brown overdress of linen. Very fine embroidery decorated the dress at the neck and hem, but it was old and worn from hard use. It was not something an average servant girl would wear, but then Jelena was not an average servant. She had acquired the dress as a cast-off from her cousin, the Lady Thessalina. Lastly, she pulled on gray cotton stockings and slipped a pair of sturdy leather sandals onto her feet, then turned her attention to her hair. She gazed at herself in the small square mirror nailed to the wall next to the door and sighed. With a boar bristle brush in one hand and a wooden comb in the other, she attacked the tightly coiled, recalcitrant mass of mahogany curls that sprang from her head with a vengeance born of years of frustration. All her life she had envied girls like Thessalina, who had been blessed with shining waves of luxuriant hair that fell gracefully down their backs. Hers, by contrast, stood out from her head in a great bushy shock, refusing to be tamed by comb, pin, or hair grease. During Jelena's babyhood, Claudia had often tried in vain to control some semblance of order from her foster daughter's chaotic tresses. "A gift from your ma'am," Claudia would ruefully say as she tugged and twisted and smoothed. In the end, both child and nurse had grown weary of the struggle, and so Jelena's hair had finally been allowed to do what it would with little interference, save an occasional trim. On her 18th birthday, just 2 months past, Jelena had taken shears to her locks, and now had only a shoulder-length tangle to deal with. She would have cut it man-short, except that she would no longer have been able to hide her ears. With a final tug, she finished the daily battle, securing the sides with a pair of ivory combs. These combs were her most cherished possessions, for they had belonged to her mother. Jelena might have her mother's hair, but the rest of her features bore the unmistakable stamp of her father's elven blood. From the slightly upturned eyebrows and gently pointed ear tips to the slender build of her body. Because of the undeniable fact of her mixed human-elven parentage, she had lived her entire life on the margins of castle society, the barely tolerated bastard offspring of the Duke's late sister, Drusilla. The Duke could not accept her as a full member of his family, but neither could he turn his back completely on his sister's child. So the infant Jelena had been given at birth to Claudia so that she could be raised in the servants' quarters. Claudia's face had been the loving visage floating above Jelena's cradle. Her voice crooned lullabies when sleep would not come. Claudia's ample bosom had given shelter and comfort to her little girl, so hurt and tormented mercilessly by both castle children and adults alike. Claudia was Jelena's heart mother, the dearest person in her universe. The older woman returned just as Jelena finished tying her work apron on over her dress. "What? Still here? You better get going or Cook'll be yelling for sure," she said as she pulled her voluminous nightdress up over her head. She shook out the garment and carefully folded it before tucking it away in her chest. I'm going, Jelena replied. She gave Claudia's seamed cheek a quick peck, then dashed from the room and down the stairs to the door leading out into the yard. A blast of fresh, cool air hit her as she pulled open the heavy oak door. A ray of golden new morning sunlight dazzled her eyes. Somewhere a cock crowed. Gods, I'm late. Cook'll be furious. She hurried across the yard, still shrouded in cool shadows, heading toward the kitchen. She reached the door and paused just long enough to chirp a greeting to the small pride of castle felines that had congregated on the threshold. They responded by raising a raucous chorus of hungry meows, patting at her skirt hem with insistent paws and twining round her legs in an attempt to control from her their morning feeding. Jelena laughed at their antics and bid them be patient. Just as she pushed through the half-opened kitchen door, a great shout rang out. "Girl, why aren't them fires made yet? I've got a feast to get on. I need my fires now!" Cook, a great she-bear of a woman, had the disposition to match her formidable bulk. She stood now, hands on hips, glaring at Jelena from beside the main hearth. "I'm sorry, Cook, I was a little slow this morning. I'll get right to it," Jelena apologized in her most deferential tone of voice. Her hand shook a little as she got busy. When Cook's temper flared, she was fierce indeed. Jelena had often heard rumors that she had once been a soldier in the Imperial Army. Jelena had never doubted those stories. Cook harrumphed and stalked away. Jelena soon had the main hearth fire going and had just finished the lighting of the big oven when the rest of the kitchen staff began to straggle in. Save for a cursory acknowledgement of her presence, most of them didn't speak to her. In fact, she had worked beside some of these people for years and had barely exchanged a handful of civil words with any of them. Now that she was older and strong enough to defend herself, the more persistent bullies limited themselves to verbal abuse, or they simply ignored her. Jelena didn't mind. She had grown used to the solitude imposed on her by the pervasive bigotry of the castle's residents, and it no longer bothered her. The kitchen soon bustled with activity. The breakfast needed making for the family and the staff, and the enormous task of preparing the festival feast had to be started. After Jelena had finished lighting the fires, Cook put her to work chopping vegetables. The festival of Sansa was one of the most important holidays on the Sildaran solar calendar, celebrated during the month of Dul, when winter's harsh grip on the land began to ease. The people offered prayers to San, goddess of spring, and asked for her blessing on the new growing season. It was also a traditional time for matchmaking. An important part of every Sansa celebration was the marriage market, to be hosted this year by the duchy, thus ensuring a much larger crowd than usual for the castle's public feast. In addition to the public meal, the Duke would be holding a private feast for his neighbors. Several nobles from afar were also expected to attend. The most senior members of the kitchen staff were to prepare this very special meal, including a spectacular Sansa cake made entirely by Cook herself, her night's masterpiece. Jelena had no expectations that she would be allowed to celebrate the holiday with the family this year. She had never been invited before, despite the protestations of her cousin Magnus, so this year should be no different. This also no longer bothered her much. She was content to spend the holiday with Claudia as she always had. The two of them would celebrate by eating their own little Sansa cake together. Magnus was Duke Theodorus's eldest child, future Duke of Emsara, and the only member of the Preseran clan who treated her like family. Magnus had been her only friend and playmate during their childhood. 3 years her senior, and by virtue of his station, he suffered no adverse consequences by befriending her. When they were together, his mantle of protection shielded her, and the worst of the bullying ceased. Magnus had taught her to read and write, to ride a horse, and to shoot a bow, which she now did with great skill. Jelena loved him dearly, as much as she loved Claudia. Break time arrived, and Jelena stopped work to get her breakfast along with the rest of the kitchen staff. Oatmeal with dried apples, mild yellow cheese, and fresh bread, hot from the oven. Jelena collected her food, and with a mug of honey-sweetened tea to wash it all down, settled into a corner to eat and wait for Claudia. The older woman soon appeared, and after getting her food and having a few words with some of the other staff, she waved to Jelena and sat at the kitchen's long trestle table, which ran along the back wall. Jelena almost never sat at the table with the others unless Claudia sat with her. She rose from her corner and went to join her foster mother. Since both of the Duke's children were now adults, Claudia's services as a nurse were no longer needed by the family. She had therefore been put in charge of the castle's laundry. She still acted as the castle's midwife and informal healer for the staff, dispensing advice and herbal remedies. She also served as liaison between the staff and the Duke if a serious health problem requiring the services of the district physician arose. Claudia patted the bench beside her, indicating that Jelena should sit. Her clothes were still damp from the moist air of the laundry, and a few stray wisps of wet, gray hair straggled from beneath her linen cap. She had a slightly quizzical expression on her face, as if she were trying to make sense of something puzzling. "Saw your uncle the Duke just now, for came to get my breakfast. He told me to tell you to come to his study straight away. I told him you would still be eaten, so he says, 'Oh, well,' and then have her come when she be finished. Now what do you suppose he wants with you this morning?" "I have no idea," Jelena replied. Her uncle rarely paid any attention to her at all, much less summoned her into his presence. He seemed to prefer that she stay away from him. A vague sense of unease sent tiny prickles down her spine, like spiders skittering over her skin. What on earth could he possibly want with her on this particular morning? She found that her appetite had deserted her, and the food that she had already consumed had turned to rocks in her stomach. "I'd better go now," she murmured, pushing her dishes aside. She stood up and removed her apron. Claudia took the garment from her and draped it across her shoulder. She reached out and squeezed Jelena's hand in reassurance. "Not to worry about, my girl. He probably just wants to invite you to eat with the family this year is all." "After all this time," Jelena shook her head in disbelief, "I think it must be something else." She gulped down the remainder of her tea and left the kitchen by a side door. In order to reach the castle keep where the Duke had his private quarters, Jelena had to first negotiate a maze of tables that had been set up in the yard for the public feast. Jelena rarely entered the keep. Since she had no official place in the ducal family, her duties did not involve chambermaid's work. She had almost no reason to cross over its massive stone threshold. The few occasions when she had been inside, it had almost always been at the invitation of Magnus. Despite their long and close friendship, she had only ever been to his private quarters once, and that had been several years ago when they were both still children. Both she and her cousin recognized the impropriety of her coming to his chambers now that they were grown. Jelena remembered the way to her uncle's study from the last time she'd been there, a little over 3 years ago. The day of her 15th birthday, the Duke had summoned her to tell her she had officially come of age now and could choose to stay at Emsara Castle to live and work, or she could leave. If she chose to stay, she would remain his ward until he could arrange some sort of match for her, if possible. At the time, she felt it as if she'd had no other choice. She had chosen to stay, for where else could she go? As difficult as her life was at Emsara, she knew no other home. The keep's massive iron banded oak door stood open. Jelena stepped through and stood a moment, blinking owlishly while her eyes adjusted to the dimness. Dust motes swirled and danced in the shafts of sunlight spilling down from slit windows set high up in the walls. Ancient banners hung from wooden poles set at regular intervals into the stone. The grunts of horses and the good-natured shouts of men-at-arms at their morning exercises drifted through the open door. An elderly wolfhound lay in a patch of sun near the great hearth, soaking up the double warmth of fire and solar heat. His tail thumping rhythmically upon the stone floor, The dog's liquid amber eyes tracked Jelena as she moved farther into the room. "Come here, ghost," Jelena called softly to the dog, and the old beast climbed laboriously to his feet and ambled over to her. He pushed his massive, grizzled head into her hands and stared up adoringly into her eyes. In his prime, Ghost had been Magnus's favorite hunting dog and his constant companion. Despite his ferocity in the field, he had always been patient and gentle with people. Now, stiff and slow with age, he spent most of his days either lying before a fire or sleeping in the sun. Jelena bent to press her cheek against the wiry fur atop Ghost's head, breathing in his musky aroma. She had always loved this dog for his sweet nature and because he belonged to Magnus. With a final scratch behind the ears, she left Ghost at the foot of the stairs leading up to the second floor of the keep. Climbing took too much out of him now, so after uttering a soft woof of farewell, the big dog went back to his patch of sunshine. Jelena made her way up the stairs and down a short corridor to the polished oak door of her uncle's study. Before knocking, she smoothed her skirts and made sure that the tips of her ears were hidden beneath her hair. Concealment of the most elven of her features had become automatic. This simple act of protective camouflage somehow always made her feel a little safer and stronger. She drew in a deep, shaky breath and rapped firmly. "Come!" a deep voice called out from within. Jelena pushed the door open just wide enough to slide her slim body through, closing it carefully behind her. She paused, her quick hazel eyes taking in the scene before her. Dark, heavy wood and shadowy corners made up her uncle's study. A small fire burned in the stone hearth to her left. Tapestries hung against the walls, depicting various scenes from the stories of the gods. Numerous cases and tables were scattered about the room, all serving as display areas for an extraordinary collection of scale models. There were models of ships, siege engines, even a complete replica of Amsara Castle itself. All had been lovingly constructed out of wood and metal by the Duke's own hands. The smells of dust and wood smoke infused the air, and a telltale tickle in Jelena's nose heralded a sneeze, which she quickly stifled. "Come here, girl. I can't speak to you when you're across the room," her uncle commanded. "Yes, uncle," Jelena answered, and quickly crossed the expanse of Sarmatian carpeting to stand before the Duke, who sat at a small writing table. The scritch-scratch of quill pen upon parchment was the only sound in the room for several heartbeats as the Duke worked, ignoring his niece completely. Just as Jelena began to fidget, he put down his pen and fixed his steely blue eyes upon her. Duke Theodorus Presseron looked much like his castle's keep, squarely built, imposing, and strong. He had a broad, plain face with a heavy jaw and beetling brows, which at first glance could give the false impression of brutish stupidity. However, one would only have to look into his eyes, which gleamed with a shrewd intelligence, to realize that underestimating the Duke of Amsara would be a serious mistake. He was a man completely devoid of any sentimentality, an able administrator, hard and extremely demanding with his people, yet well respected for his fairness and judgment. Jelena knew that he took very good care of the folk of Amsara, and because of this, she had never borne her uncle any ill will. "I'll get straight to the point so you can get on with your work," the Duke said, never one to waste time on trivial things like greetings and pleasantries. "Tonight you'll be allowed to feast in the great hall with the family and our guests." Jelena gasped, uncertain that she should believe what she just heard. "Uncle, I—" she began, but the Duke cut her off. "You can thank me later after the feast. Go see Fania." Fania was the castle's seamstress. "She has some old gowns of Thessalina's that my daughter doesn't wear anymore. You can choose one. You'll know where she is, I trust." "I know where Fania works, uncle," Jelena answered, trying hard to keep the excitement from her voice. Her uncle scowled, as if irritated by Jelena's interruption. "Have Claudia help you with your hair. Here, take this. It may help to keep that thatch of yours in its place." He held out a circlet. Jelena's embarrassment turned to wonder as she took the circlet from her uncle's large, calloused hand. Finely crafted of pure silver and beautiful in its simplicity, the circlet gleamed softly in the natural light streaming in from the window behind the Duke's desk. Jelena turned it over in her hands, admiring the tracery of leaves and flowers engraved on its surface. "I can't believe you're allowing me to wear this, uncle. It's much too fine," Jelena's voice trailed off. At the back of her mind, a little bell of alarm began to chime. She shivered. That circlet belonged to my sister, Drusilla, your mother. I reckon you're entitled to wear it, at least tonight, anyway. It should fit. Your head is about the same size as hers. Same hair, too.
Thank you, Uncle. I'll wear it proudly, Chelina replied.
You can go now, the Duke said, by way of dismissal. He picked up his pen and resumed writing, as if Chelina had suddenly vanished from the room. Just then the door swung open and Thessalina entered. "Father!" she cried. "You can't be serious!" She stomped across the room, radiating fury like the blast from a forge. The Duke's only daughter had a face too hard to be pretty, but the force of her personality nonetheless drew men to her like a magnet and allowed her to bend them to her will. The full strength of her power emanated from her like the heat of the sun as she stood facing her father. Even the Duke seemed to shrink a little in the face of her towering rage. "I will not marry that toad!" Thessalina shouted. She hammered her gloved fist down upon the Duke's writing desk, sending the inkpot tumbling to the floor, where it disgorged its contents in a black spray upon the carpet. This proved to be too much. The Duke catapulted himself up out of his chair and thrust his face to within a nose length of his daughter's. Neither of them acknowledged Jelena's presence. Jelena stuttered as she backed away a few steps. Thessalina had nearly knocked her over. As if seeing her cousin for the first time, Thessalina turned to face Jelena, blue eyes blazing. "Get out!" she growled. Jelena fled. Down the stairs and past the loudly snoring ghost she ran, her mother's precious circlet clutched tightly in her sweaty hands. She didn't stop running until her feet passed over the threshold of the keep, and she found herself back out in the yard. Her heart fluttered in her chest like a panicky rabbit, and her mouth seemed to have lost all of its moisture. What a scene, she thought. Jelena had witnessed Thessalina's rages before, but never up close. She shuddered to imagine the scorching heat of her cousin's wrath turned upon her. She would be reduced to ash! As the rush faded from her limbs, leaving her drained and shaky, Jelena made her way back to the room she shared with Claudia in the servants' hall. Once there, she sat on the edge of her cot to examine the silver circlet. Holding this object that had once graced the head of her mother mined a deep vein of emotion within Jelena's soul. It brought forth grief and loss and tears for the young woman who had died to give her child life, a young mother whom her daughter would never know. Yet the daughter did know something of her mother in a way. "Surely there's a lot of my mother in my own looks and personality," she thought. "Claudia's forever telling me so." Jelena dried her eyes and blew her nose upon her sleeve. She then placed the circlet lovingly in her chest, on top of the one other dress she owned. She would go now to see Fania and pick out something to wear from among Thessalina's cast-offs. But even a cast-off from her cousin would be a far finer garment than Jelena could ever hope to acquire on her own. Then she would return to work. As she walked back down to the yard, she had a sudden change of heart. After she chose her dress, she would not return to the hot, noisy kitchen. Instead, she would go up to the battlements to think. The windy solitude on those man-made heights always seemed to help clear her head. She needed to try to make sense of things. Why, after all these years, has Uncle suddenly seen fit to allow me to attend a family feast? There has to be a specific reason behind his decision. Jelena suspected it had nothing to do with any newly discovered affection for her. So that it could only mean her uncle needed her to be there for a particular purpose, one that would ultimately be to his benefit, and not necessarily to hers. Of that, I'm certain. Tune in next week for Chapter 2. Until then, bye-bye.